May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please have a seat. For those of you who don't know, we are currently working our way through in a sermon series, the entire Bible. Nothing like setting ourselves a small target. And this week we have got to our third sermon in the series, which takes us up to the start of the book of Exodus. This morning we're looking particularly at chapters 1 to 20. So a little recap on where we are so far in the story. The book of Genesis deals with creation, God making all things and humanity messing things up. And it deals with God's plan beginning to be revealed through one family, through Abraham and his descendants, to show his light and his hope, his blessing to the entire world. Abraham had Isaac, Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, of which Joseph, one of his sons, ended up in Egypt. And then the whole family followed after a variety of events, leading to this whole family being together in Egypt at the end of the book of Genesis, which is where we come in this morning at the start of Exodus. Because not only had Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat, well, Joseph and the other 11 brothers and the daughters, but they had themselves continued begetting. Until, by the time we get to Exodus, they had begetted so much that there were lots of Israelites. This family, this tribe, had become known now as the people of Israel, or the Hebrew people, and they were so numerous that they were starting to terrify the Egyptians. Pharaoh, this all-powerful ruler, the head of the empire, was scared. And so he enacted some brutal rules to keep the people of Israel down, to hold them in their place. He enacted the rules that any children they had were not to be allowed to survive. He enacted brutal slavery upon them so that they had to do all the building work. And they didn't get paid, they didn't get any wages, they were not free, they were slaves. And that's the situation at the start of Exodus. This group of people, God's family, this special family who he's chosen, are now slaves and oppressed and kept down by this empire, Egypt. And the people cry out to God, and God hears their cries. And he calls this guy Moses. Moses, who through a variety of events himself ends up fleeing from the Egyptians as a shepherd, and he's there in this desert shepherding. And one day while he's shepherding, he sees this burning bush. And that's the section that we had read to us this morning, Exodus chapter 3. This burning bush where the voice of God speaks to him. The voice of God tells him, I have heard the cries of my people, and I'm calling you to go to Pharaoh and tell him to set my people free. And there's a bit of back and forth and conversation, and Moses isn't entirely convinced that everyone's going to believe a guy who turns up from a desert saying, a burning bush told me to do this. But he goes nonetheless. And he goes to Pharaoh and he says, God says, let my people go free. And Pharaoh thinks about it and he goes, okay. No, actually, I think I've changed my mind. I will not let you go free. And in fact, because you have had the temerity to even ask, I'm going to make life more difficult. And so they go forth and they go forth. And there's all of these things. And God sends the plagues. There are a number of plagues that afflict the people of Egypt. And every time Moses goes back to Pharaoh and says, God says, let my people go. And every time Pharaoh has a chance to respond to what God's doing. And every time he goes, no. Pharaoh sets himself up in opposition to God. I am Pharaoh. I do what I like. I decide my country's way. And God says, let my people go. And Pharaoh goes, no. Until the final plague. The final plague visited, which is the death of the firstborn. Right across the nation of Egypt, the firstborn, the eldest son in all the families. God says, if you don't let my people go, your eldest son will die. And that's what happens. And there is a cry throughout Egypt, an uproar. All the people of Egypt now rise up with one voice. They say, let them go. And so Pharaoh lets them go. and they go, and all the rest of the people of Egypt are happy and delighted to see them go. So they send them off with gold and gifts and all kinds of finery, and the people of Israel go, led by Moses. And Pharaoh goes, do you know, I've changed my mind, actually. I really quite like having a nation of slaves. And so Pharaoh chases after them, and the people of Israel keep going until they get to the Red Sea or the Reed Sea. And they can't cross it because it's water. And behind them is the army of Pharaoh and his chariots. Chariots are a symbol of empire. Rich, powerful oppressors have chariots. The people of Israel have got feet. And so they cry out to Moses, and they get very cross. They say, Moses, why did you bring us out here to die like this? We were happy being slaves in Egypt. We had cucumbers and watermelons and all kinds of goodness. Who knew watermelons and cucumbers were so exciting? But they said, Moses, why have you brought us out here to die? And God hasn't forgotten them. God says to Moses, stretch out your staff over the water. So Moses stretches out his staff over the water, and the water parts. And the people of Israel go through the Red Sea. They pass through the water to the promised land on the other side, to safety. And as the chariots and the army of Pharaoh follow, they are stuck in the mud and the waters close in over them. The people of Israel are free, liberated, set free from the oppressor. And there's all kinds of other things that continue to happen. There is a lot in Exodus 1 to 20. It keeps on happening. The people, they proceed through the wilderness, and eventually they get to the mountain of God, Mount Sinai, where God does something very special. He consecrates the entire nation. He says to them, you are a special nation. You will be a nation of priests because you will tell people about me. All of you, the whole nation. It's not just one guy at the front. It's not just the special people with the special hats. All of you are my people. And then he gives Moses the Ten Commandments, a new way of living, a new way of being. And that is Exodus 1 to 20. Now, there are a few things within this chapter that we could think about this morning, and you will be delighted to know that we're not going to spend a lot of time on all of them, because we'd be here till at least next week. I just want to pull out a couple of things that, as I was reading through, I thought, I can't not mention this. Firstly, when the people of Israel were in Egypt, when Pharaoh was instituting his draconian laws about do not let these babies survive, two people, Shiprah and Puah, they are named. They are the midwives of Israel. And they're the people who went to Pharaoh and go, oh, do you know what, Pharaoh, it's just not working. Every time we get there, they've already had the babies. It's just too late. These two women just get one throwaway sentence in Exodus. If we're honest, the church hasn't always done a good job of applauding and raising up women and recognizing what they've done. So I wanted to do that this morning here. Just those two, Shiprah and Puah. If you're looking for girls' names for any babies, Shiprah or Puah, great names. Those two women, wow. Ladies of faith, ladies of valor, ladies of courage. Just wanted to throw that line out there because I've never heard anyone preach on that, so I wanted to mention them. Second thing, people of Israel crying out to God. The last verse of chapter 2, just before our reading this morning. Five words. God saw and God knew. God saw and God knew. God is not distant and separate from our reality. God is not so far detached that what's going on in our lives is completely alien and irrelevant to him. God saw and God knew. Moses shepherding out in the wilderness, and he sees a burning bush. And I've heard it preached on in two different ways. One, someone suggested that a burning bush in the desert isn't an unusual sight. Therefore, what's important about this is that Moses stopped and paid attention. And the other way I've also heard it preached on, which I think is probably more realistic, is that a burning bush in the middle of the desert is not a common sight, and so what's important is that Moses stopped and had a look. What we get out of this is it's important that Moses stopped and had a look. Where in your life is God doing something, and you need to stop and have a look? Thirdly, in these chapters, in this section that we've heard this morning, this is the first place where God refers to himself by the holy name Yahweh. every point up to now, God's been referred to as Lord Adonai or El Shaddai or one of those variety of names. But at this point, in Exodus chapter 3, he refers to himself as I am that I am, or the great I am, Yahweh. That's what it is in the Hebrew, Yahavah. This is the first point at which God reveals himself to be as personal, as individual as each one of us. He is not an idea. God is not a force. God is not just a cloud, a vagueness, some kind of nebulous thing. God is personal. And God's name he reveals to Abraham, to Moses. He says, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, and my name is Yahweh. So why do we read these books? Why are we going through the Bible? Because these kind of passages are so important. You know, I would actually even argue that this is crucial to our understanding of the rest of the Bible and of Jesus. We need to know the story of the Exodus in order to be able to properly understand the Jewish background of Jesus and the first Christians. If you ever asked yourself, why do we read the Old Testament? This is why we read the Old Testament. Because all of this stuff speaks to where we are now. Not just in those ways, but in other ways. The people passed through the Red Sea. They went through from the old land of slavery and death through the water to the new land of promise and hope and life. John the Baptist, the precursor of Jesus, the one who preached about the Messiah who was coming, baptized people. He baptized them from the old way into the new way, from death to life. The first Christians baptized people. They passed through the water from the old way to the new way, from death to life. We pass through that journey, the old way to the new way, death to life. Baptism comes from here. The Passover, the way that the Jews marked that final plague, where actually God passed over the people of Israel. He spared them. He gave them a special set of ritual, a meal to share on that night, to ensure that the angel of death would pass over their homes, where they got together as family and shared a meal. And the Jews continued to observe that meal of Passover all the way through their history. And that meal of Passover, where the people come together to share their history, was what Jesus was doing with his disciples the night that he was betrayed. The Last Supper, Jesus gathered in an upper room with his friends to celebrate the liberation of God's people. And we remember that story of Passover as we share communion. We enact the meal that Jesus enacted, which was an enactment of what God had done all the way back then. Our gift of sharing together in a meal comes from here. This passage has got so much to it. But I want to leave you with one final thing, because it's all well and good knowing these things and having this story, but what matters is what we do with it. How we take it into our lives, how we own this story and live it out as God's people in this place at this time. And this final thing I want to leave you with is, I think, what matters today the most. All of these things are good, but I want to leave you with this. When Moses said to God, who am I that you should send me to Pharaoh? Who am I? I'm just a shepherd. Who am I? God doesn't say to him, you're Moses, you've got a great beard. Although he probably had a great beard. He doesn't say to him, you're Moses, you're incredibly special because of this or that. He doesn't say to him, Moses, I've got this special gift for you. None of that. God says to Moses, I will be with you. Our limitations do not matter to God. If God is with us, we have got enough to stand up to empire, to stand up to oppression, to injustice, to wrong, to death. We get to stand up to it and know that we are on the side of right and good and life and hope and freedom, because that is God's story. And that's what we're invited into. God invites us to live as people of freedom and truth and life. That's the big story of the Bible. God takes his people from death. God takes his people from slavery. God takes his people from oppression, from empire. And he takes them to freedom, to life, to the promised land, to kingdom. That's what we're invited to share in. That's our good news. That's what Jesus does for us. That's our truth. May you know the power of the liberation that God has worked for you through Jesus. May you know the freedom that he welcomes us into. And may you know the power of the story that leads us to own that name of a people who are God's and who God has called. Amen.